We're going to start in Acts this morning as we start our new study. And we're not going to go through these chapters, you know, in totality, but I want to give you a little bit of background to the letter that we're coming to here. Paul's going to write a letter to, it was the capital of Macedonia. Paul never even planned on going there, but the Holy Spirit had plans. And so as Paul and Silas were sharing the gospel, out ministering the gospel, going kind of through the known world of his day, actually starting going through what would be now modern day Turkey. In chapter 16, we see that a young man joins Paul and Silas in their ministry. So one thing is, we come to Thessalonians, the first book of Thessalonians, we see that Paul, Timothy, and Silvanus, or Silas. It's neat. I just had a thought. It's just neat to Jesus when he had those 12 disciples and it was time for them to go out from Jesus. In the beginning, Jesus sent them out in pairs. And the first time, it's interesting, the first time he sent them out, he said, don't take really anything with you. Just go. You know, God will provide all that you need. And it was just neat that they weren't, I mean, we're never alone. Jesus is always with us, but it's always good to have a partner. It's always good to have a co-laborer in ministry. And Paul had faithful friends that were faithful to him, you know, in much of what he did. You think of the work and the labor that was really involved at this time, the commitment, you know, that was involved. You know, to travel the way that they traveled and to go the way that they had gone. So Timothy, we're going to see this in Thessalonians. If we just look at the first couple verses here in chapter 16 of Acts, then he, Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman. His mom was a Jew who believed. His father was a Greek. And we know that Timothy learned the scriptures from his mom and his grandma. They were faithful in teaching Timothy the scriptures. And so Timothy joins Paul and Silas, travels with them. Now, they wanted to go into Asia. But we read in verse 6 that God interrupted their plans. I think it's neat that we're open enough that God would have the ability to interrupt our plans. I like to schedule my time, schedule my days. But if I schedule them to the point where that I must keep every appointment, keep every schedule the way I've kind of put it down. I used to use a day timer, and you know, that was my life. Did my devotions in it, wrote my, you know, everything in it. Boy, I would hope that God would have the okay to interrupt, you know, what I'd planned for that day. And it's interesting how God will do that if we're open to that, if we allow him to do that. So many times, the things I get irritated with, jeez, why am I here? You know, why do I have to go into the tire shop? Or why do I have to, you know, go this direction? That's what I wasn't planning. And yet, if I'm open, that God is directing what? The steps of a righteous man and woman are what ordered by the Lord. And so that's what I want. I mean, I want to be responsible and disciplined and make good use of my time and try and, I guess, be organized. I've got to be, or I'll go crazy. But God, interrupt that. If you want me someplace else, if somebody needs to be prayed for, or somebody needs to... I can remember just a couple years ago, Mike and I actually were, for a friend, just doing on their garage. And he had ordered everything. We were putting tin on it, and he had ordered stuff, and we were just helping him. And we got to the one, the ending thing, I want to get out of here, you know, because we got other things to do. And he ordered the wrong ridge cap. Oh my Lord, what a world, come on. And so it was up in Frewsburg, and I knew that there was a metal shop in Frewsburg. Even though he'd ordered the metal somewhere else, I took a piece of the metal, I ran over to the metal shop in Frewsburg, and I pull in, and there's cop cars all over the place, and I go in there, and the person at the counter, the lady, she is just out of her mind, crying and just frantic, and, you know, make a long story short, the Lord had arranged all that, you know, that we would come right at that time, and they weren't believers. And so I was able to, that morning, share with her, you know, that Jesus could give her peace, that if she trusts the Lord, that the Lord could turn this whole thing into something that might, you know, be productive. And I can remember asking her if she'd pray with me, and she says, yes, yes. And then she stopped, she goes, what do I do? Yeah, she never prayed, and I said, you know what, it's nothing hard. You know, just like you talk to your kids or your husband, you know, let's just talk to God about this. Let him take care of it. You see, God had another plan. He wanted to interrupt. I wanted to be on to another job. And God interrupted that. And so the Holy Spirit, I don't know exactly how this happened, but just a check in Paul's, don't go this way, go that way. And so Paul, Silas, and now Timothy turn. And they go up through Turkey. They're going to jump on a boat and land in what's now modern day Greece. Paul goes to Philippi. Things don't go so well in Philippi. Paul ends up in prison. Paul and Silas end up in prison in Philippi. God had a plan for Paul and Silas. God needed to have the gospel presented in a place I don't think we're all... It takes special individuals to have a heart that the only place they'd want to minister is maybe at the jail or in the prison. Paul and Silas, God needed to share the gospel with those jailers. Ultimately, Paul, if you remember the story, they're released miraculously. And rather than sneak out of town and just take off, Paul and Silas, they stay. Ultimately, they're sent on. And I just wanted to touch on, actually, chapter 17. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. It was the capital of Macedonia, Thessalonica. It was on the main I-95, right? Runs the whole East Coast. I don't know how many times you've been on I-95. It's not a nice road to be on. I don't think you'd be on it where it wouldn't be full traffic. I mean, it's a major deal. Well, they are on the main travel route. Thessalonica was on the main Roman highway of the day. And Paul went there, Paul and Silas and Timothy, and there was a synagogue there. Wherever there would be 10, a minimum of 10 Jewish families, they would have a synagogue. And it's neat to go. We're in the synagogue at Capernaum, Masada, we were in that synagogue. And, you know, the not real big. Maybe the one at Capernaum is not even as big as this room. Two stories. The women would be allowed to go upstairs and sit on the sides. And then in the bottom, the men would be allowed to go in and, again, sit around the outside. Really pretty plain places. But if there were 10 families, Jewish families, they would normally be a synagogue that would be established. And Paul, as his custom was, why? Because he loved his countrymen. He loved the Jewish people. He desired that they would be saved and know their Messiah. He went into them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures. I just think what an amazing thing it must have been to hear Paul, you know, Jesus on the road to Emmaus, you know, expounding all the scriptures. What scriptures? The Old Testament. Here I am. Jesus concealed in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament. Just when we go through, we're going to be going through pretty soon, you know, the tabernacle and different things in Sunday nights in Exodus. You know, all pictures and types of so many ways of Jesus and New Testament things. We can see Jesus all through the Old Testament explaining and demonstrating that the Messiah had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preached to you is the Messiah." You know, Jesus was the real deal. You know, Paul had so miraculously come to salvation and come to the Lord. Some of them were persuaded. Some of the Jews, a few of them were persuaded. And then a great number of devout Greeks, not a few of the leading women, and they joined Paul and Silas. But those who weren't converted, oh, they hated Paul, didn't they? And they actually had ultimately made a pact. You know what? We're not going to sleep or eat until we kill him. And so this wonderful thing to be a minister, to go with Paul, you know, be Paul's partner. Oh boy, I just like to be next to Paul. Yeah, I'd like to be beaten and kicked and stoned and whipped and, you know, be under the threat of death. You know, it must have been quite the thing. Again, I just think of these men, these friends that stayed with him. And so the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace. They created and set up a mob. The whole city was in an uproar. And they attacked the house of Jason, sought to bring them out to the people. When they didn't find them, they dragged Jason and some of the, you know, the faithful ministers who were ministering to these guys. You know, they dragged them out. Jason, who had harbored these, oh boy, acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar. There's another king, Jesus. Well, what happens? Paul and Silas, slip out of the town. He was only there 3 days. He's only in Thessalonica 3 days. And then he goes on to Berea. Flip up to 1 Corinthians 2 real quick. 1 Corinthians 2. If you continue the Acts, I mean, they make their way ultimately to Athens, preaching to the statue of the sharing that Paul knew who the unknown God was, Jesus. And then ultimately they end up in Corinth. And I wanted to share this because I think this is where Paul's at this time. This is kind of where his heart is, and maybe just his whole mind and his body, you know, after making this trip. You know, we think, oh, you know, let's go on this evangelist tour and see the great things. And God did do great things. But boy, what the toll I think it just had on Paul. I think we hear this in what Paul says to the Corinthians in chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Yeah, it just seems like he just maybe even kind of beaten down. I mean, you know, I think he was a tough guy. And just being chased and whipped, you know, I think just whipped emotionally. I mean, when you share the Lord, I mean, how do you feel at times? You know, you're so excited maybe to share the Lord, and then it's just rejected. And in rejecting, I don't know how many times people say, you know what, but they're really rejecting Jesus. But they're rejecting you too. They're rejecting, you know, your belief. That ultimately, yeah, they're rejecting Jesus, but how can you not affect you? And if you really have, again, like Paul did, I think, I'm being honest, sometimes I think my heart tends to be hard. I'm just being honest. I mean, I don't have the heart Paul had. You know, and you know, well, okay. You know, reap what you sowed. It's nothing off my skin. And Paul, I think his heart broke. It just broke because he wanted those that he shared with, especially the Jewish people, to know Jesus, to know their Messiah. And then they hated him and they rejected him and they wanted to kill him and they chased him and they... I mean, I just think he was beaten down, and you can hear it in what he's writing here. By the time he got to Corinth, he was broken, and he was weak. He was fearful. He was trembling. I was with you this way, my speech and my preaching, though, were in power and in the Spirit. So... turn to Thessalonians. So on his second missionary journey, just act real quick. Just those two. I'm cold. I don't know about you, and I'm moving. I think we need to hurry here. I should have. I'm going to run back and get my... let's just touch this real quick. Paul... and we know who Paul was. Silvanus, it's Silas, and Timothy. And we already kind of talked about these guys. Just think of what they were willing to go through. You know, they hung with Paul through these things. Silas even in prison with Paul. To the church, to the called out ones, the ecclesia, called out of the world, called out of darkness into light. This is my fancy coat. I wear it because it's nice and warm. To the church of the Thessalonians and God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Trinity. You know, Paul founded the church, again, Acts 17. Thessalonica, this city located on that great Roman highway. Only there 3 weeks, and then moving on. Writing to this church, again, to encourage them. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I just always like Paul's like intros, because it has to be God's grace to experience it, to have his peace, you know, to have peace with God, and then the peace of God. All that Paul had gone through, just this heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. We give thanks to God always for you all. I just think of that. I would hope that would be me, you know, just, oh, I'm so thankful for you and you and you and you and you and you. You know, just you see how thankful. And then not only being thankful, but he's always praying for them. Not praying for him, praying for them. How neat that was. What a neat characteristic of Paul. Lord, make me a thankful person. Make me more of a person of prayer. And prayer for others. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for the church. And not just Calvary Chapel, but just the church, the saints. God's called out ones. Remembering and look at the things that Paul's able, they're like marks or characteristics of this Thessalonican church. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Like James, you know, faith, real faith. It's not earning our salvation. It's just the result of our of real faith. I'm working. I'm laboring. Good works. Remember without ceasing your work of faith. Your labor of love. Again, true love, I mean, it results and it produces labor, doesn't it? Because of God's love for us. Just in response to that. I think of Paul, wow, what a labor. What? Again, the trial, just what he endured. You know, what have I endured for the Lord, really? Can be pretty cushy, can it? And patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father. Oh, the hope. Hope really produces patience, doesn't it? You know, we hope. I like Titus 2:13. You know, just, we have a hope in Jesus in the resurrection, but the second coming, man, that, wow. And we even, I guess, mentioned in that, you know, the last few weeks, you know, just the hope of him coming again. And, man, it doesn't matter. Lord, I'm gonna serve you. I'm gonna live for you. I'm gonna labor for you. I want to worship you. And I'm just standing on that. I'm anchored in you, Lord. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. God, you see, God loved them. God loves us, and he's chosen us. Isn't that awesome? For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. I like that. That's why this morning I can have confidence we can read the word. Really, I could just read it. You see, there's power in the word. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who can bring it alive. He's the only one that's going to teach us anything this morning, reveal anything to us. He's our guide. He's our teacher. And he's promised to do that. Our gospel did not come to you in word only. And that's why I think it's just so important that when I have an opportunity, I can share a story, I can share an anecdote, the power is in the gospel. It's in the truth of the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached you. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Wow. There we go. That's the gospel. Paul makes it so plain and so simple. And I believe that's what he simply, powerfully shared everywhere he went. Can you imagine sharing that truth? Going in the Old Testament and sharing the truth of the Messiah. Who the Messiah would be. How the Messiah would come. And then what the Messiah would do with the Jews, with his people. It is powerfully, again, sharing the simplicity of the gospel. Our gospel didn't come to you in word only, but in power and the Holy Spirit, in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. And I like that. It wasn't, you know what, it wasn't, it's kind of the opposite of the gospel message that we hear today a lot of times. You know, the surrounding of the gospel message. You know, Paul says, you know, when you receive the gospel, it was with a lot of affliction. And I think it should be with a lot of... I mean, I take that two different ways. I think what they had to deal with. If you're a Jew and you accept the Lord, then you're going to be... Your family might literally kill you. But if they don't kill you, they're going to have a casket and they're going to bury you. You might not be in it, but you're going to be dead to them. You're going to be rejected. You're going to be disenfranchised in every way. You're going to be hated. And for the Greeks, for the Gentiles, it wasn't much, again, different. In much affliction. If you follow Jesus in Paul's day, your life's going to be on the line. They're hunting you down. They're trying to kill you. Literally. You know, we don't have that here. That's very foreign to us. But Iraq, Iran, you know, Middle Eastern countries, some of the African countries. Guy that shared at Sandy Cove.
K-B-O-N.
No, the other guy. In Africa. He's training the militia and the Christian... Okay, he trains the pastors. Fight the Muslims. Before these pastors go, and they're going with a They're not only fighting, but they're ministering. Before they go, he trains them. Before they go, they dig their grave. Today, they dig their grave before they go, because they're not coming back alive. They know it. We got his guy that had been with him for 20 years was just killed last year. His secondhand guy. And they're right on the front line. It's guerrilla warfare. And that's foreign to us. But to be a Christian, you're going to give your life. And that's real today. And so in much affliction, right, they chose to follow Christ, being willing to give it all up. You know, not to count their life dear. And then I think there has... You find it?
West Bentley.
Far-reaching
ministries.
Far-reaching ministries. I mean, you got to have a special calling to do that. And he's been over there for a long time. And just ministering in... I mean, dangerous, dangerous areas. And so... He doesn't come every May, but every other year or so he'll come every few years and share. I mean, I can't even believe the stories he tells. I mean, it's horrible. And then he invites us to come. You guys want to come? I'm chicken. And then I think to come to the Lord, there has to be affliction. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If my sin does not afflict me, I wonder if it's true conversion. Understand what I'm saying? I mean, and I think today, this is so, it's so wonderful. Come to, you'll never, float away on cloud nine. And I don't know, I think that's why there's a lot of people that really haven't experienced a true conversion. And Paul preached the gospel. And he preached the word. And it brought people to their knees. And they were willing in that climate to turn to Jesus. You know, maybe we're really cursed because in our climate, we don't know in certain ways. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes I'm really convicted in that way. You know, what really has it cost me? Does it cost me anything? Have I really denied myself? Have I really taken up my cross? Lord, what does that all mean in my life? Man, I just want to be... Yeah, I want it to be true. And so in our day and age, it might be something as simple as I would not allow what anyone would think of me to keep me from sharing Christ, keep me from witnessing. Because I think that is a powerful thing in our lives. Am I willing to bear my cross? Am I willing to have that person make fun of me now? Am I willing to lose that person maybe as an acquaintance, or, I mean, they're not really a friend, but they're an acquaintance. You know, if I really get serious and share the God, you know, they're always sharing with me all this weird stuff. That's what I learned a long time ago. Hey, you know, they have no qualms. You know, one guy used to bring his beer and troll it behind the boat. I let him do that. You know, I tried to be a friend with him. And And he'd smoke his weed in a boat, you know. And finally I said, you know what? Every time that we're together, I'm sharing the gospel of Jesus of Christ with you. If you're willing to go fishing with me, you're going to hear the gospel. I'm not going to judge you in any way for what you're doing, because I know you're doing it just because that's where you are. But I'm sharing the gospel with you. And as soon as I started doing that, you know what? He never went fishing with me again. Simple as that. I see him around at times. You know, he's even come here. And I don't think he's a believer. I don't know. But so I like that. They not only followed Jesus, isn't that something? Think of this. They followed Paul, Silas, and ultimately Timothy. Wow. I hope we can say that. Follow Jesus. Why? Because I'm following Jesus. Look at how I do my finances. Why? Because I'm doing my finances the way Jesus would do my finances. How I drive. Drive how I drive. Those are the things that I have to watch. Follow me because I'm following Jesus. Come along. And that's what Timothy was doing. He was following Paul, and Paul's discipling him. I love that. I think Paul probably discipled Silas too. But let's be disciples. Let's follow Jesus together. Let's go through these things together. I was fortunate. I didn't get married till I was, older. We didn't have kids till we were a little older. And man, I had people that discipled me how to do these things. How do I discipline and disciple and raise my kids? How do I, do these things? That's a testimony we heard it with Don, right? Man, I don't know how many people, he was the guy. You guys might not know. Anybody come in here, not that I couldn't do it. Anybody come in here with anything financial, and he was always willing to do it. I'd send him right to Don. You go and do exactly what Don tells you to do. What a guy. Man, he had things right. And he knew how to do them. Really disciplined. And I don't know how many people Don sent right. And that's what the neat thing about Don was, is all still pencil and paper. Not that you can't do it on the computer or the notepad or the whatever, the phone, but man, he'd write it right out for you and sit right with you and do it. How many? I mean, there's a lot. I don't know how many people, how many families had Don do that with. So that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Our testimony goes out. Our witness goes then out beyond. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. What a neat thing. What a neat thing from this tiny little group of people. What Paul's saying is that, it just went out, like throwing a little rock in that pond and just that ripple effect going out. What a neat opportunity. A little group, just look right here. A little group this morning, and right now, we're standing here doing a little Bible study. The whole world's getting a Bible study from this little place. 92 countries, right? 92 countries in the world. We know are hearing the gospel. Wow. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. I'm blessed. What really blessed me even the last 2 weeks, what faith is here. What love is here. What relationships are here. The depth of the relationships that exist here really blessed my heart. It's powerful. You don't know the people that were touched and are being touched because of the faith that's here. For they themselves declare concerning us that what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for a Son from heaven whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That's Paul's introduction. Here's this church, and he's going to write, you know, to encourage them and to help them. They're struggling in certain areas. There's some false teaching that is trying to creep in, and he's going to speak to that. And for us, just the beautiful, positive things. You know, the intimacy that they had with Jesus. Being a young church, the faith that they had in Jesus. The labor that they were doing in Jesus. Not a rich church, not a church that, you know, had everything. But yet a church that was reaching the world of their day. And I guess I just would close this way. I see that here. I don't know, just because of what we went through the last 2 weeks, it was like alive. It was so alive. In the fellowship, I was so encouraged, you know, with what the Lord's doing. And so we'll turn it into a second 2018 thing. Let's continue to do it. Keep going deeper. Seeing what the Lord has for us to do in 2018. Certainly what they were doing. The things that we have been doing, we don't want to change any of them. We just want to continue to be faithful to do those. Paul didn't change his approach. He never changed. It's amazing. He was rejected. He was hunted down. He still, you know what? I'm going to. The Gentiles, okay, Lord, you know, I'm going to go. Man, every time he would still, you know what, I'm still going into that synagogue. I'm still doing it. We would look at, I mean, you know what, the sad thing is, the church today, they probably do a study and do kind of a survey. This isn't, the results really aren't there. I mean, there's only a few that are turning. And there's more of that. Paul didn't do that. He said he knew God had called him to preach the gospel to everybody. No matter what the response was. The response was God's responsibility. And so Paul just faithfully continued to do those simple, basic, important things. Lord, help us. Help us to do the same. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the example of the scriptures. Lord, Paul, Silas, Timothy, Lord, so many. Lord, we're not unlike them. Lord, as a church, Lord, we saw that they were a church of faith, and because they were a church of faith, they were good works. Lord, they were a church of love, and Lord, in responding to your love, Lord, loving you, loving others, Lord, they labored in love. Lord, they labored in the gospel. And Lord, they were a church that just kept looking up and looking forward and really just keeping their eyes on you. And Lord, help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to keep looking forward, looking up. Lord, in that I know that you'll continue to lead us. You'll continue to guide us. Lord, you'll continue to birth, Lord, even new and renewed visions and ministries and opportunities. Lord, help us to not complicate things. Help us to simply share the word really simply. Such power in that. Get us home safe today on these roads, and Lord, keep us warm. Help us to be thankful and continually pray and remember each other. In Jesus' name, amen.